gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris Lavoie, Cub reporter and producer, I take back everything bad I've ever said
what?
About you.
What?
I was listening to another radio show on the way into work on the train this morning.
Yes.
And a caller had to tell the host that a woman had been taken from Tiger Woods' house early this morning. I'm like, wow, there's some producing there.
And that's the big city.
Wow. All right, let's get to the breaking news quickly, as far as whatever we know now.
Details are hazy, but Tiger Woods' mother-in-law, Barbara Holmberg, appears to have been staying at his house. Emergency crews responded to a rescue call at Tiger Woods' mansion and transported a woman to the hospital on advanced life support, local news outlets are reporting this morning. And witnesses told WFTV, the younger blonde woman who was seen arriving at the hospital soon after the ambulance early Tuesday looked similar to Tiger's wife, Ellen.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. So we will update you because we have a producer that actually apparently pays attention to the news.
I'm a producer. Right. I produce.
Okay. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com, won't you? All right. We have a big, huge, fat show today. Governor Jesse Ventura on the Celebrity Hotline today. Senator Bernie Sanders. We just have news exploding left and right. And I have a couple of stories. You know, guys, I'm telling my New York stories as they happen. From moving to New York, I have a couple of stories both involving poo.
Oh.
But first, let's go to award-winning journalist from CNN, Candy Crowley. Good morning, Candy.
Well, good morning. It's certainly the best lead-up I've had at this hour.
Listen, I've got a dog stories like you wouldn't believe. However, Candy, now I know that you're an esteemed journalist and you don't traffic in gossip, except maybe in the lunchroom there at CNN. But have you heard anything else than we've heard about this Tiger Woods thing this morning?
You are news to me at this point.
Save that for a promo, Chris. Save that for a promo. Candy Crowley gets all her news from me. Okay, go ahead.
Tiger Woods is not totally on my radar screen until he decides to run for office.
Right. She's a senior political correspondent, Stephanie.
I understand. Uh-huh. I'm just saying, come on, Candy, in the break room, you guys aren't talking about Afghanistan and health care.
Can gossip with you. I just don't know anything.
Let's hope it's not something tragic.
The
mind reeled
good.
This morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you heard about that, the mind started reeling about what had happened. So we will.
Yeah, that sounds like a family horrible thing. Actually,
I know. Anyway, let's get on to the news. So a lot of stuff going on a lot of fronts. So Harry Reid put a bunch of senators in a room, told them to work it out. It's kind of like a timeout for senators, right?
It did, and you wonder, could we not have done this 6 months ago and saved ourselves a lot of grief? But they're working up against a deadline. It's called recess, and they tend to work a lot harder, and there's that deadline thing. Being a deadline gal myself, I kind of get it, where if you're really pushing up against something, you tend to get something done. And what Senator Reid wants, because we have several steps to go yet, believe it or not, on health care, so he needs to get it out of the U.S. Senate. Obviously, the president was up there on Sunday saying, okay, let's get this moving. We're close. Don't let this all fall apart. And so Senator Reid has set his own deadlines and said, figure this out. He's doing what's called a manager's bill, not to get too wonky on you, but it's kind of to work everything out ahead of time and throw it in this one thing called a manager's bill so you don't have a series of votes on the floor that take up time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, listen, Candy, I live for your wonkery. Trust me. Now, you've obviously just covered this political scene for so long, Candy. How much of this do you get as bluster, whether it's on the, abortion amendment or the public option? I mean, are we playing a big game of political chicken? How do you see this coming out?
Well, the problem is that where we are in the process now, and there are other ways to go, but this isn't the last word. So what tends to happen, because the Senate has to pass this bill, and then they have to go to conference committee with the House and kind of squeeze the House bill and the Senate bill together so that it's one bill, and then it goes back to both houses for a final vote. So what happens is generally the leader in the House or the Senate will go, we'll work this out in conference, which is what they call the next step. You know, just you know, go ahead, let's get this thing through, keep the train moving. And mm-hmm. so it is difficult at this point to know who's going to fall on their sword for what issue, because there's this kind of one last chance in conference committee. So I think the abortion thing is very real. I think the public option thing is very real. But in the end, here's what the Democrats know. They have to have a health care bill. So if you're going right. to look for people to back off, I would say it is probably the more liberal Democrats in the Senate will have to back off, and in the House as well. Because in order to get the votes, you have to have moderate Democrats and maybe some moderate Republicans, although I doubt it. And in order to do that, you've got to give up on some of the more liberal aspects, like a full-blown public option is totally out. So I think if anyone's going to blink, it's going to be the left, because frankly, the president went up there and said, we have to get this bill. And they do, policy-wise and politically.
Yeah. Well, so that's been the best explanation I've ever heard why all legislation looks like watered-down gruel that even Oliver Twist wouldn't eat.
I get it now. I mean, it's why it comes out so oatmeal, frankly, is that you can't get a vivid bill, if you will, because there's so much. You need the center in order to push things forward, and it's not the Senate in particular is not a place that does things way to the left or way to the right.
Mm. And may I just say, Harry Reid, God bless him, not much of a poker player. I think he started by saying, I like a public option, but it's not really important. It's like going on a car lot and going, you know, I'd really like to pay 30, but
exactly.
I'll pay 40 if I have to.
At the very beginning. I mean, I think before the bill ever got put together and said, well, really, I support a public option, but it's, you know, we don't actually have to have it. And so, you know, and frankly... Yeah. The president wasn't exactly, Mr. I've got to have this public option. He never said that. He went up on the Hill on Sunday and apparently
didn't mention it.
One word about it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, that's the thing, is everybody's saying, is the president playing chess? Well, we better get a last-minute move here. It's, you know. All right. Well, yeah, all I'm saying is I wouldn't want Harry Reid to be my hostage negotiator. You know what I mean? I wouldn't, in a hostage crisis, I wouldn't want to go,
I'm told he's pretty good behind the
door. I like it.
Remember, what he wants to do is keep it moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be like going, I'd like
right
you
now.
Not to drop her off the building, but, you know, if you have to, that's the way.
But she's right. His job is to keep it moving, you know, and to keep it alive. So, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Okay. Candy, how do you, the Afghanistan speech and strategy and all that, how is that playing in Washington? I mean, people are really, really split on this.
Well, Chapter 2 came over the weekend, and that was the Defense Secretary and Secretary of State going, well, yes, we're gonna take some troops out in 2011 in June, but some troops will be there for several years. So this sort of set everybody back, because obviously what the president said was not inaccurate. He said we're gonna hope to begin bringing troops home in the summer of 2011, but I think what everybody heard was, oh, and then we're gonna withdraw the troops from Afghanistan. And now of course the reality is now there's gonna be troops in Afghanistan for several years. Beyond 2011. So, in effect, what the president did was kind of strike this middle ground, and we all know that the middle ground, and we've just had this discussion on healthcare, the middle ground really didn't please anybody. It's enough to get, you know, to get it done, but it's never enough to please anybody, really, because the left wants out. And the right said, why do we have this deadline? Nobody was happy.
I mean, I got to tell you, I believe in the president. I am an American. I hope it works out. I'm very changeable and very suggestible. And I understand the strategy, and I hope it works. And you know, then we had Scott Ritter on yesterday, and he explains why it won't. And I'm like, yes, you're right. Okay. So, you know, I guess we can just hope for the best.
The case, I think, was something that has to do with war. You and I don't know about war strategy, and we don't. I mean, you've got to sort of trust the commander in chief, and he says he's talked to everybody, and he's, you know, going to go in with these 30,000 so that he can bring everybody home. And it seems counterintuitive, but you have to go with it, and you just hope it's the right idea.
Yep. Yep. By the way, Candy, speak for yourself on war experience. I played a mean game of Battleship in the 70s. No one ever sunk my Battleship, so I have as much expertise as anybody.
You know what you're talking about.
That's right. Yeah.
Candy Crowley, esteemed award-winning journalist from CNN, who lowers herself now and again to come on the Stephanie Miller newscast. Thank you, Candy.
I love coming to talk to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Candy. There she goes. Chris!
What?
Get that for a promo!
Yes, ma'am. Right away, ma'am.
Candy Crowley gets her news from me, for God. She didn't even know about the Tiger Woods thing, for God's sake.
That's not really her beat.
She's a reporter.
Yeah, but that's not her beat.
You know, actually, when I go around the country, Chris, it's a little disturbing how many people get their news from the Stephanie Miller newscast.
I know.
That does not bode well for America.
Yeah.
All right. We will keep you. We will be the Tiger Woods station this morning. Keep you apprised of all the latest details. Of you know what's strange? Here's the oddest thing that struck me that you just mentioned this morning.
What?
Is that it was reported, and who knows like which's right and what's wrong when there's a big story like this. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, the early things get a little heated.
Right.
You know, because you assumed it was a woman he was dating. It was like, oh, a woman was taken from Tiger Woods' house this morning.
I didn't assume that at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you thought it might be his wife. You were speculating maybe suicide attempt.
A suicide
maybe.
Attempt, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, you were anyway. But what was odd is so the speculation is, or at least the best reports we have is that it may be his mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
It may be
because apparently
mother.
She was staying with him at the time, and yeah.
Yeah, those had to be pleasant conversations nonetheless.
Oh.
But so anyway, but she apparently refused treatment at first, but then was taken and is on what
advanced life support.
And that's what I was saying. How are you able well enough to refuse treatment and then be on advanced life support?
When you refuse,
it could be heart related. Could be
when you refuse treatment, the pills that you've swallowed haven't taken effect yet.
Oh,
that's okay. What I was thinking.
All right, aren't we just a little?
We're just.
We've gone
full
from
of
a newscast
gossip.
To just a little gossip, catty gossip corner. All right, we will keep you updated on all that, and I have a couple of charming New York stories, both involving poo.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, slime porner. Oh, wait till you hear.
Oh, boy.
A cable company that I would never name that sounds like slime porner. Okay.
And also, surly associate producer Rebecca Baker.
Yes.
Will make an appearance.
Okay. Oh!
What?
I have some other news. I have some other breaking news, too.
Uh-oh.
Because my week, let me just say an awful day yesterday. I'll tell you why when we come back.
Okay.
But guess how the week may end.
How?
I may be debating Ann Coulter. So you know it's a really good
Whoa.
Week. Whoa! Uh-huh. I'll let you know about that when we come back.
How did that... Minutes. Oh, boy.
All is right. that a tease or not? All yeah, right,
that's
20
That's a
minutes.
Hell of a tease. That's why you're the best in the business.
Yeah, that's me. 20 minutes, Candy Crowley comes here for all the news. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She listens to right-wing wacko radio, so you don't have to anymore. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. You're right. The New York Post is the best for all the breaking Tiger updates.
Yeah. Even though it is a Rupert Murdoch organization.
Just this once, we'll make an exception.
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So the woman that was taken from Tiger Woods' house early this morning in an ambulance has been released.
Yes.
This story just gets weirder and weirder. It was reported that she was on advanced life support.
Right, but then there are some reports coming out saying that she never was on life support, that it was the life support unit that answered the call.
Oh. Well, you're right. The woman in the picture looks like his wife,
mm-hmm.
but you're saying it's supposedly maybe his mother-in-law?
Yeah, who is a prominent Swedish politician.
Yeah, well, she looks young is all I'm saying, but I guess, you know, Swedish women. God love them. She looks. I mean, just saying, it's a fuzzy picture on the, on the what do you call it,
the interlink?
Stretcher there. But
oh.
it looks like you know his wife. But I could be. Yeah, that's what they're saying. The woman looks like his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're saying a woman that looked like his wife showed up after the ambulance at the hospital. So anyway, we will keep you posted. All right. That's the good thing about New York, Chris. You know everything you need to know on the train.
Oh.
pretty much everybody's got a post. Oh, okay. What's happening? All right. Oh, by the way, you know how I still have to ask everybody where which stop is which because I don't speak subway conductor?
Yeah.
Here's the freaky thing about it, because, you know, like, next stop, that's where you, how you know you're supposed to know where you are.
Right.
But the weird thing is, you know what's completely clear every time is stand clear of the closing doors. It's very strange.
Huh.
Apparently needs to be clear for the morons that think you're supposed to stand in the train doors.
Well,
apparently that needs to be made clear to some people.
Did you see the video yesterday of the woman who got her purse caught in the doors in the Boston subway?
Oh,
and it dragged her along and slammed her into the wall of the tunnel?
Oh, yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange. You'll hear next off, stand clear of the closing doors. Hey, moron. So it's weird. It's just suddenly you're like, okay, I know that part. I don't know where I am, but I know that I should not stand in the doors.
Well, there are also signs.
So thank you for that.
Signs in the subway.
Yeah, but if you miss them and then you're craning your neck around, the train's full, it's a whole thing. All right.
Poor thing.
Oh, Christopher, which story do I tell first? The poo-related stories or the... let me tell a story yesterday. So, you know I would never name a cable company here, Chris, but... A company that sounds like Slime Porner.
I think we have that same company here in L.A.
Ah, so I've been here a mere few days.
Yes.
Guess what they did? So they did show up and install my cable TV.
Yes.
You know, Mama renting here in New York, of course, like most people do.
Mm-hmm.
The building, apparently, this was news to me, is a landmark. It's a landmark brownstone building. The guy from the Slime Porner broke the building, basically.
He broke the building?
Yeah, I don't have any idea why he didn't go out of the building in the place where the TV is. He went out on the opposite side of the building, broke part of the building off, and then strung bright white wire across this beautiful brownstone. And my landlords showed up yesterday.
Oh, and they saw it.
Yeah, before I got home. And,
boy.
Needless to say, they were a little...
A little
concerned.
A little miffed.
Yeah, there's a foreman coming out today. They got to put in a claim. It's a kind of a whole
foreman
thing. Well, yes, because there's damage and now it's a thing. And I.
Good Lord, woman.
Okay.
You were not meant to be a renter. You really, really weren't.
This is dear. I spent most of the day yesterday with the Slime Porner man.
Oh.
All right. When I was not picking up diarrhea. Because, as I mentioned, my dogs eat a special food.
From Gentle Giants Rescue.
I overpacked in my car, which is still in the possession of the Crookie Car Company, and I have a Crookie Car Company update for you.
Oh, boy.
And I underpacked my suitcase. And so I had to... And now guess what's happened? I've run out of the kind of food that I thought I was just going to use for a day or two, and now they're on their third food before the other food gets here. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because the car company wanted to know if I'd go to New Jersey to pick up my car.
Why New Jersey?
I'm like, what? I paid you to bring it here. And they're like, oh, well, then it'll be, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe.
Oh, whatever.
Yep.
They're crooks!
Yeah. Yeah. I got a call from someone named Big Pussy, I think, yesterday. Want to come to Jersey, pick up your car? No? All right. I'll tell the rest of that story as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
has now become a mascot for cougars everywhere.
Hee-hee-hee. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. The Dow is down 87 points. Andre in Chicago is a paramedic. Hey, Andre.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to say, I'm not going to say how you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm an EMT here in Chicago, and I want to talk about what advanced life support really means.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that the person that was in the ambulance was given any kind of advanced life support intervention, but it's more to do with the level of training that the EMTs had, and all paramedics are advanced life support.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So it's not unusual because the latest reports are that the woman, we don't even know who it is yet, has been released.
Yeah,
but she was on advanced life support is what they're reporting earlier, but you're saying that's not necessarily unusual.
Yeah, that just denotes the level of training the EMT set. And okay. I also saw the video of it earlier this morning.
Yeah.
And what do you call it? She didn't look like she wasn't intubated. She wasn't anything. So it just looked like a routine transport.
More importantly, not a professional opinion, but did it look like his wife or his mother-in-law?
Jeez.
Well, I don't know. Lots of plastic surgery going on down there.
Well, yeah, she is Swedish.
Swedish women, who can tell? They're freakishly in their genetic makeup. Okay.
They are all blonde and gorgeous.
All right. Thank you, Andre. All right. Yeah, you know, Chris, I'm just saying they also are trained to ascertain the age of a patient.
Are they?
Well, yes. Oh, did I tell you my story? I'll tell it over.
Oh,
I've told
no.
it a million times, but I tell it over and over and over because... Because I like it. Oh, so when I got in a serious bike accident last time I lived in New York, because I'm an idiot and I wasn't wearing a helmet, it's a long story. Anyway,
I don't think I've ever heard this story. And yeah, I've worked with you for 11 years.
I did the tour de pavement. There was a car coming and we both slammed on the brakes and I went over the face first into the pavement. When they come, the ambulance, they ask you a bunch of questions to see if you have a head injury.
Okay.
You know, they say, do you know who's president? And I remember the time being like, ugh, George Bush. Anyway, ugh, I know that.
The first George Bush.
Yeah, they ask you your name and your, no, this was the second one, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and then they ask your age and if you know where you are and blah, blah, blah. So I said my age, which was, 40 or something. And they both
58.
Looked at each other, and they both looked at each other and said, what? No, you're like 25, aren't you?
No!
Oh, I smiled, blood coming down my front teeth. I was like, oh, you say that to all the girls in your ambulance.
Oh. You took that as a come-on, didn't you?
What's that?
You took that as a come-on, didn't you?
I did. I was in the back of their ambulance all bloody, and I just couldn't have been more delighted by that. I was like, oh, well.
What are you doing tonight?
As soon as we ascertain whether I have a concussion, would you like to go out for drinks? All right. Bill in Asheville, North Carolina, with a question for Mama. Hello, Bill.
Hi.
Hello, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hey, I wanted to know, is the move to New York part of a plan for you to take over for Diane Sawyer on Good Morning America?
Yes, that's... you busted me. Thank you for calling, Bill. Well, Bill has sussed it out. Too bad for you, Diane. No, that is not true. However, I will be on the Ed Schultz Show this Friday on MSNBC. And, I mentioned this before. I dropped a little bombshell before the break.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been confirmed yet. But I was asked if I would like to go on a show with Ann Coulter.
What show?
I believe it's Thursday.
What show?
It would be the Joy Behar show on CNN Headline News.
Oh.
They said, by the way, Ann Coulter's on the show. Would that be a problem?
Hey, you've had dinner with her.
Well, a long time ago.
Long time. Before she got crazy.
Before she was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that'll be fun, won't it? That'll be a perfect end to this week. Which has just been spectacular thus far. What with the cable company ruining the apartment building that I'm renting. Oh, and I have a lot of poo stories. I mentioned this, right?
Uh-huh.
Rebecca Taylor, are you here? Mm-hmm. Hi.
Yeah, she's been sitting here waiting patiently for you to acknowledge her.
You know, and, I thought my story arc was complete. Here I am.
No, you're back.
Hi.
They always come back for more. So, anyway, I have a couple of poo-related stories.
I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I ran out of the right dog food. It's a long story. Anyway, there's still some very, let's just say, loose poo.
So gross.
However, that's the dog kind. Here's another kind that is really exciting. I take the dogs for a run it's called the Bridal Trail in Central Park. And why do you think they call it the Bridal Trail?
Because of horses.
There's horses there. And Fred... Little 10-month-old Fred, why, he's taken to picking it up because he thinks it's fun. So yesterday
gross.
I got not only dog poo on my gloves, but I got a little horse poo, a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
a little bit.
Isn't it freezing there?
Yeah, but it's not that cold.
Enough to freeze horse poo. Okay.
Sometimes the drop it works. Like, Fred, drop it. Like
dude. And then you French kiss
your
dog.
But then sometimes it does not work, and you have to do the forced jaw open, and then the poo drops out.
And you still French kiss your dogs?
Not right away.
You give them a mint first.
Yeah, she has the 5-second rule.
Exactly. Exactly. He dropped the poo like an hour earlier.
Yeah. And then you're like, here, have a search.
All right. All right. Rebecca, yeah, I may not get my car until sometime next century, so I may just need you to keep sending me things.
What did those thugs do now?
So
where's your car at?
Don't really know.
No.
I'm going to say Jersey, I think. As I mentioned, I think his name was Big Pussy called. I heard the music. Chris, do we have the music in the background? As you know, they signed a paper saying, yeah, we understand it's all your car's going to be all stuffed full of your clothes and your computer, bikes, whatever, and that's fine. And this is the price we'll do it for. And so then, Chris, when the thuggy driver showed up at my house where you're stick squatting.
Right.
What did he say?
He said you're not supposed to put all of this stuff in there.
Well, he's a lying sack of crap.
He lectured me on it.
Uh-huh. You're like, do you know how many bullets I take for this skank? So anyway, so then they held me up for several hundred more dollars. He's like, well, now it's going to be this much now. So there it goes. Be ashamed of something that happened to your nice car, all your stuff. So I said, fine. Because then they know they have you over a barrel, right? Because then you got to start all over and find another company and blah,
right.
blah.
Right, they're holding your crap hostage.
Yes. So you pay a certain amount to get the car, presumably, to where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see from where I was, Chris?
Right, they picked it up at your
yes.
house here. Why
Rebecca,
shouldn't they drop it off
along.
At your
I'm
house
just,
there?
I'm going slow for Chris.
Okay.
And then to get it here to where I am here. So I get a call last night. Yeah, Ms. Miller. Can you come get your car in Jersey? And if you watch The Soprano, nothing ever ends well when you go to Jersey to pick something up at night. I was like, what? Well, I don't have a car to get to Jersey because you have my car. So I was like, well, no, I paid you to get it here. And they're like, well, it's this truck can't go into Manhattan. See, I'm telling you, Chris, this is going to be more money when it gets here.
Yep.
It's going to be like a hostage crisis.
It certainly is.
I'm getting a bullhorn before they show up. So then they're like, well, that truck doesn't go into Manhattan.
We'll get
that
a truck,
truck
that does.
To Jersey. I was like, well, okay. She was like, yeah, we got to get another truck. It'll be Wednesday, Thursday. So literally, unless I go to Jersey to pick it up, then they're like, no. So.
Oh, boy.
That's my cookie car company. And the
do you want me to
continues.
Break his kneecaps? I can go down there for you, Mr.
She can do that.
Thank you.
I would do anything for you. Except for
if
anything.
If you could take your hostility out on someone else besides me for once, something that would benefit me, I would appreciate it.
Right. Where you at, Big Puss? I'm coming.
Although, I understand you're very busy in L.A. I'm not sure if you've ever spotted Tiger Woods here, but let's skip to the porn story, Chris. L.A. Lounge offers porn star karaoke, and producer Chris makes a note here on the story that Rebecca Taylor goes to this.
That's right.
And it's Tuesday, so is this, it's porn star, quick karaoke night at Sardo's tonight,
there are so many fake boobies there. It's awesome.
And it's right over, it's like two blocks away from the station. Seriously.
How is she able to have a life in L.A.? I had to move 3,000 miles to get a life. Why isn't she going to bed at stupid o'clock like you are?
I don't know.
You're out singing karaoke with porn stars?
I'm younger than you.
She has the energy.
Yes, it is porn star karaoke night at Sardo's Grill and Lounge. And is Tuesday night's the big night, or is
yes,
it any?
Yes, that's the night. Uh-oh. Hey, hey.
So you will have a report for us tomorrow, I imagine, on the...
Yes, I will.
You had
report.
To have spotted Tiger Woods there at least once.
Or his 10 mistresses. I mean, what's it up to now?
Oh,
10?
Listen, we will, now that there apparently has been no tragedy and the woman has been released, we will go down the latest scorecard when we get back.
Look forward
I got
to
a little. I got one of those little golf pencils, Chris, and mm-hmm. I have a little scorecard.
Oh, good.
And I'll tell you who's who and what's what.
Like you get at miniature golf.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. By the way, Sean, our engineer here in New York.
Yes.
Is funnier than me, and I don't...
I heard that this morning.
I cracked open my big Tiger Woods joke for him. You know, I was saying, more and more women, you know, you're finally wondering, is he playing 9 hose or 18 hose?
And he laughed politely.
He said, looking more like 36. And I said,
That's funnier. Yeah. Hold on.
All right, 43 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on Tiger Woods' health care and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Governor Jesse Ventura coming up on the Celebrity Hotline in just a few minutes.
That's right. He has a new show called Conspiracy Theory.
Why, Jim Ward will be here. How convenient.
Hey.
All right. The Dow is down 125 points, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. All right. Let's get the golf scorecard out, Chris. The tabloids, it's hard to keep track here. They put, by the way, tragedy plus time equals comedy again. A woman was rushed to the hospital from Tiger Woods' house. She has been released, though.
And enough time
has
passed.
We still don't know who it is. Exactly. It was minutes ago that we learned she was released. So, and we don't still know who it is. His mother-in-law, his wife, we don't really know. Okay. Tabloids are saying 6, 7, 8, but we could be up to 10, Chris. We could.
I've heard that.
Yeah. You know, what do you call it? Sean the Engineer may be right. He could be playing actually 36 hoes, as it turns out. I love this. The Daily News also saying Oprah Winfrey has been in touch with Woods to offer advice, and I'm guessing the advice would be to stop banging hoes.
Yeah.
Would be to stop banging cocktail waitresses would be Oprah's. I'm just going to guess. Okay, so, you can continue. Let's see. Let's review. Tiger's rumored women are Rachel Uchitel, a club hostess, Jamie Grubbs, a 24-year-old reality show contestant.
Oh, boy.
Huh. Who would have thought that she'd be looking for any sort of,
fame.
I don't know, publicity or... That's hard to see that one coming, Chris.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Kaliko Mokwin, a 27-year-old club manager from Vegas. Corey Rist, a 31-year-old swimsuit model. Jamie Youngers, a 26-year-old former employee of Trashy Girls Lingerie. You know, interesting, no Supreme Court justices on this list thus far. No.
No.
Interesting.
Seem to be underwear models.
Mm-mm. No financial analysts, nothing like that. Oh. I'm sorry, I spoke too soon, Chris. Mindy Lawton, a 33-year-old pancake house waitress.
Oh.
Just when I was questioning the class of Tiger's, When
did Tiger ever go to a pancake house to meet a waitress?
Apparently to meet Holly, Mindy, pardon me.
I can't picture Tiger at a pancake house.
Okay. Holly Sampson, a 36-year-old L.A. former porn star. Oh, I wonder if Rebecca's ever seen her at
Sardo's? Yeah.
Porn star karaoke night there. She, of course, has starred in such films as OMG Stop Tickling Me.
Oh.
And, of course, Flying Solo 2.
Of course.
Carrie Prejean, of course, in Flying Solo 1. Hi! Let me see how I got that. Okay. And then we have three unidentified alleged mistress number 8, a former cocktail waitress from Orlando, Florida, who was reportedly 20 when she met Tiger. Unidentified alleged mistress number 9, reported to be a sexy British TV presenter. And unidentified alleged mistress number 10, reported in a UK paper to be a sex-addicted cougar.
Kind of like you.
I had a feeling you might get to that joke.
Well, have you had sex with Tiger? I mean, you could be the sex-addicted cougar.
I don't remember.
They didn't release a name. They said it was a legend.
If you pick up my dog's loose poo, I'd do anything.
Just wait until it freezes, and then you can pick it up in one... Like a dinner plate.
I was digging through leaves in the dark last night. Some guy came over with a flashlight. I'm like, thank you. All right. Can I just say, by the way, the dog areas, you know, the off-leash dog areas in Central Park and the dog runs, Chris?
Yeah.
Little clicky. The people and the dogs. It's like being the first day in high school again when you're new.
I hear Manhattan is like that.
Yeah. It's a little clicky, and some of the other dogs are a little mean to Fred because he's like just a puppy, and he's a lot smaller than Max. And I'm like the geeky new girl.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. I think I'm already notorious because a guy was like, most of the people here seem to know who you are. You have a radio show?
Really? You're famous.
Yes. And the two big white dogs with diarrhea. I'm guessing that people kind of have a sense who I am by now.
Oh, boy.
All right. You know, maybe I should drive to Jersey just to get the dog's food, which is in my car, which is being held hostage by the crooked car company. Anyway... All right. Let's move on. By the way, the historic climate debate has opened. Delegates to the pivotal climate conference welcomed the Obama administration move Monday to regulate greenhouse gases under an existing clean air law, but said they still expect more. The announcement came at the two-week meeting of 192 nations in Copenhagen, Chris, is where
yes.
I'm told it is.
Yes.
With emotional appeals from those countries endangered by rising seas and other damage from climate change. Wow. Don't you love this breaking news, by the way? The EPA finally makes it official. Greenhouse gases endangered the American public.
Why did it take
and
so long?
And also, as it turns out, there's Abraham Lincoln was shot, is what...
oh, my God.
We finally made it official. Huh.
Too soon?
Yeah. Yeah. The EPA, after years of denial, George Bush, suppression, George Bush, and delay, George Bush, the United States government has finally officially recognized that greenhouse gases are dangerous pollutants. You know I'd work that in.
Yeah.
Under the Clean Air Act, the Obama administration has slowly worked on the decision. Right as the climate change conference completed its opening day in Copenhagen, EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson made the significant climate announcement yesterday.
And is now authorized and obligated to make reasonable efforts to reduce greenhouse pollutants under the Clean Air Act.
Hooray!
Yes. The administration, she said, will not ignore science or the law any longer. Oh, my goodness. But for an administration that's nearly blinded by science instead of ignoring it completely. Nor will we avoid the responsibility we owe to our children and our grandchildren. Today I'm proud to announce the EPA has finalized its endangerment finding on greenhouse gas pollution, now authorized and obligated to make reasonable efforts to reduce greenhouse pollutants under the Clean Air Act. Amazing that Senator James Inhofe would be a little bit of a straggler on the issue, isn't it, Chris?
Yes, it is.
The administration's so-called endangerment finding will lead to a wave of new regulations, new bureaucracy that will wreak havoc on the American economy, that will destroy millions of jobs.
He's a tool.
Thank God he has such a, you know, Spartan genetic... background, which he has previously brought a chart to the Senate to illustrate, hasn't he?
Yes, his
it is free of anything icky like divorce or homosexuality.
No pink hanging fruit from that tree.
No,
not at all.
Well, although we've speculated previously on the Stephanie Miller newscast, if you shake that tree, well, I think there's got bound to be a little pink fruit fallout, a little rainbow
here
fruit
and
there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is that was one of my favorite presentations ever. Okay, meanwhile, as I mentioned, Harry Reid, they used to do this to us in Catholic school. He has put a bunch of senators in a room for a timeout until they figure it out. The fate and shape of the public option in the Senate health care bill now rests in the hands of 10 Democratic senators. What the, Chris?
Yep.
Five moderates and five progressives whose views span the spectrum within the Democratic caucus. The group has had several closed-door sessions over the weekend. Most of its members uncharacteristically tight-lipped on their negotiations. Dear God. What happens when Chuck Schumer has no comment? Chuck Schumer said, I'm not going to get into details of any type. Nobody in that room, neither me or any of the others, have signed off on anything. The group, moderate Senator Blanche Lincoln, Mary Landrieu, Ben Nelson, Tom Carper, and Mark Pryor, the liberals Schumer, Jay Rockefeller, Sherrod Brown, Tom Harkin, and Russ Feingold, Mama's future husband.
Right.
Schumer said, we're finding a good deal of give and take. I bet you are. That leads to common ground. Yeah, we'll see. As Candy Crowley was mentioning to us earlier, President Obama addressed the full Senate Democratic Caucus in a closed meeting on Capitol Hill just a few hours before the group of 10 began their meeting. The president did not utter the words public option. And I was listening to Ed Schultz yesterday, and he was saying, you know, this could be part of the president's strategy, you know. So we'll see. I mean, this has not played out yet, and we don't know what's going on. When you can't get it out of Chuck Schumer, Chris, you don't know what the hell's going on.
I think there's going to be a trigger at best.
We'll talk about the car. No, it's not a hammer. Uh-oh, here comes the hammer.
Uh-oh.
It's not a trigger. It's a hammer. We'll tell you about that as we continue. 57 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on
Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. The website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie. Voice deity, Jim Ward. Surly associate producer, Rebecca Baker, or me, Stephanie Miller. Breaking news from cop reporter, Chris Lavoie.
Extra.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Bryant Gumbel has just announced on Regis and Kelly that he has cancer.
Oh, no.
Apparently, he 2 months ago, he had surgery to remove a malignant tumor on his lung. He told viewers that he kept the surgery private, that part of his lung was removed during the surgery, and he and his doctor hope that his treatment is completed. So we hope.
And we wish him well. Yes. And, Jim, since you've just gotten here, the other breaking news, you know, tragedy plus comedy equals comedy again. A woman was rushed to the hospital from Tiger Woods' house early in the morning, but she's been released now.
Yep.
We don't know who it is, so it's back to the joke.
She's
folks.
Been released into the wild.
Yes.
There are reports that his mother-in-law was staying with him at the house. She is a prominent Swedish politician. So there you go.
Although I'm just saying, the woman on the stretcher looked like his wife, but I don't know.
But with Swedes,
is,
you know, they don't age.
What's that?
Swedes don't age, so
know,
it's hard
it's
to...
annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Max von Sydow's about 900 years old. It's so amazing. And he's still doing movies.
Yes.
All right. We will update you on that. And Governor Jesse Ventura coming up, Jim, on his new conspiracy show in just a few minutes on the Celebrity Hotline. Like, that's a coincidence. All right. Meanwhile, Jim from Chicago writes, Steph, thanks for your visit to Chicago last Saturday night. Oh, a good time was had by all. My wife and I attended the meet and greet in Oak Park.
Oak Park?
Yes. I would like to ask one favor, if you would. We would appreciate it if you could give out your recipe for Polish sauerkraut. Oh, why, I'd be delighted, Jim, and your lovely wife. Yes.
Who, me?
We're having our kids and other relatives over for Christmas, about 30 to 35 people. Ooh, yikes, that's a lot of sauerkraut.
Wow.
We'd like to put down your recipe on the menu. I remember you said you use bacon fat to fry up the bacon and mushrooms, and you drain the jar. Okay. All right, Jim, here's the deal. Let's see. It's technically the Miller Family Thanksgiving sauerkraut, but I suppose you could have it for Christmas. Okay.
Why can't you have it, like, on Tuesday in March?
I suppose you could.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, here's what you do.
No, the world would spin off its axis if you had it.
There's a lot of Polacks like Mama in Chicago. You know, I used to live up Pulaski, as you know.
Lots of pierogi. Lots of pierogi.
Yeah, to beat off Danny Hastert for all the good Polish sausage. All right. So you boil the sauerkraut and then you drain it, which someone mentioned that I forgot to say the last time. It's very important. You boil it in a little bit of water and then you drain all the stuff after. You boil it for like 20 minutes. Okay. In the meantime, in another pan, you saute mushrooms and onions in the bacon fat. And then you put in the sauerkraut and then you stir fry it all together.
That all sounds good except for the sauerkraut. I'd take out the sauerkraut and
yeah.
Spend the rest of that.
Bacon and mushrooms fried in bacon fat. That sounds good.
You use salt and pepper, and here's the magic ingredient, everybody. Dill. You put dill in there. There you are, Jim. It is my Thanksgiving sauerkraut, and enjoy.
And burn to a crisp.
Yeah.
No, what you're supposed to do.
All right, let's...
That's only all Stephanie's personal
yes,
touch.
Yes, Stephanie's version is it's burned beyond recognition.
You two ingrates. That's why I moved away. You just did not appreciate the sauerkraut I would bring you every year.
Well, I don't like sauerkraut, period.
I remember I asked you last year on the air, I'm like, how's the sauerkraut? You're like, it's burned.
And it's sauerkraut.
And it's sauerkraut.
And Jim said it's sauerkraut. I know.
Actually, I like rotkugel much better.
What's
red cabbage? It's
pardon me?
It's much tastier than the.
It's like a red
white
cabbage sauerkraut.
Red also cabbage. Sweet? Yeah, but it's sweeter than the yeah.
All right then.
I don't like sweet pickles. So
all
I,
right.
Yeah.
You
know. Well, no,
Harry Reid, Senator Reid, as I mentioned, trying to get us some health care. You probably haven't heard much about it or anything. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
In this country, belatedly recognized the wrongs of slavery. There were those who dug in their heels and said, slow down. It's too early. Let's wait. Things aren't bad enough.
As you know, the right wing has their panties in a collective wad.
They went
they're having
dump,
a hissy fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Steele, Jim, is having a little hissy fit. Ironic for being the Republicans' House Negro. Okay,
stop
I said it. I said it. Whatever. They're all going. Senator Saxby Chambliss.
An outlandish statement like he made.
Outlandish.
Just as another indication of the desperation that the Democrats are showing and the pressure which they're feeling. I mean, folks tend to crack under pressure.
Yeah.
Personally,
guess what? We're going to get health care done.
And watched them crack. Yeah.
All right. Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah.
It's offensive, unnecessary, really a slap in the face to all Republicans, and I think a slap in the face to Democrats to use language like that.
Oh, come on.
To make a long story short, they're frantic. They want this bill. And compare this to civil rights. My God.
My God, I have to go and make another Nazi analogy about the president
yeah,
and the health care bill.
How is it not analogous to civil rights? Don't you have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Thank you.
The life part is the first one.
Yes.
And if you're dead because your insurance company dropped you, as has happened to 45,000 people a year,
then you don't have life.
It's
Jim,
it's entirely analogous.
That was, you know, the moral issue of their time when we passed the civil rights bill, and this is the moral issue of our time,
exactly.
Healthcare. Absolutely. If, you know, discriminating for pre-existing conditions is not a moral issue. I don't know what is.
Don't you
love Republicans' fake outrage?
And it shows their desperation.
Yes.
I would hope the desperation is on the part of the insurance companies who are looking at losing a lot of money.
Senator Ghostly from Maine, what's her name? Esmeralda.
Senator Susan Collins?
Yeah, she's trying to make the funding for abortions disappear.
The underlying bill makes very clear that federal funds cannot be used for abortion.
She just made it so with a little wiggle of her nose.
Good luck, poor women. See ya. Okay. Democratic Senator Ben Nelson and the Republican Senator Orrin Hatch filed their amendment to tighten restrictions for federal funding for abortion. The amendment likely to be debated on the floor today. Most observers expect it to fail. Good. Which would put the future of reform in doubt, as Nelson has threatened to filibuster a bill that doesn't include the provision. Senator Ben Nelson yesterday.
It is a deal breaker if we don't get this type of language in the bill.
Look, if Candy Crowley gets her news from me, as she said earlier, then I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, Jim. I asked her, whose house, you watched this for years, like, who's playing chicken? Like, who's, you know, who's bluffing in this whole thing? It's hard to tell. You know, she says she thinks it's the liberals, of course, that are going to have to blink on the, you know.
That's the problem with CNN now. They always insist that we're a center-right country, and it's just not true. They're always trying to go right down the middle.
Even the way the coverage of the public option, how do you show, 100 polls now? 60, 70 something in different polls, percent of the American people want the public option. They make it sound like some crazy left-wing socialist idea. I mean, you know, that it just has no chance of passing. But it's that radical. It's
because we're a center-right country. Because we say so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's a Glenn Beck talking point. Who used to work for CNN?
Yes, oddly enough. All right. Governor Jesse Ventura has a new show, Jim.
Yeah, I know.
Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura on True TV. He is coming up next to tell us about that.
Cool.
And we'll talk about Afghanistan and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 19 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as we await Governor Jesse Ventura on Celebrity Hotline. Harry Reid has put, 10 senators in a room and told them to work it out on the public option. Jim, have you heard much about the, there's a opt-in, opt-out trigger type thing that's not really like a public option, and now... Now I think it's Carper, Tom Carper. It's not a trigger, it's a hammer. It's the hammer option.
Well, I heard Keith talking about the idea of expanding Medicare to people as young as 55, which would give, let's see, I think he said 30 million people access to health care that they don't currently have.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's the same thing.
Okay. This is where I wanted that. Uh-oh, here comes the hammer, Chris.
Yeah, it would have helped if you would have asked for it a little bit earlier.
Yes, that's the part where I went. And I don't even know why we would have this. Except that I now remember. Because Tom DeLay, remember, he was the hammer.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what the hammer means, but it all sounds like something that's not really a public option, but they're trying to make it seem like it might be.
But you wear hammer pants while you're not getting
really
a public
option. Thank you, Jim. That's the best explanation I've heard for what it is. Senator Olympia Snowe apparently has rejoined Democrats at the public option negotiating table. What's hers? I can't even keep track of these watered-down public option-like non-public option trigger things. A new idea, how about this one being discussed, was National Nonprofit Insurance Plan plans that would be administered by the Office of Personnel Management. That's Senator Blanche Lincoln's idea, who's enthusiastic about that.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals are cool to the proposal, holding up for a fully government-run plan. I'm willing to talk to anybody about anything, but they haven't sold it yet, said Senator Sherrod Brown yesterday. We have compromised enough on the public option. We are going to talk to Senator Bernie Sanders next hour about that, who knows a little something about about health care.
Yeah.
Okay. John Kerry, it's hard to tell what the hell's going on. He says we are going to get a compromise. I mean, it's a... guess who came along on the, who voted with the anti-abortion advocates on the McCluskey Amendment? Senator David Hooker Vitter. Senator Diaper Vitter. Perhaps conscious of his potential weakness among women voters ahead of next year's midterms, cast a surprising yes vote for that Democratic amendment that would provide free mammograms as a preventative service covered by health insurance plans. That was the Barbara McCluskey Amendment.
Mikulski.
Mm-hmm. It was opposed by a broad range of anti-abortion groups. The only other Republicans to vote for the measure were pro-abortion rights Maine Senators Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe. The anti-abortion bidder has typically been on the opposite side of these votes. I don't understand. They think it's a Trojan horse to enshrine abortion rights in existing health insurance plans.
What? Mammograms lead directly to abortions?
What? Don't ask me.
This is from a guy who wears diapers, so, you know.
Yes. But and frequents hookers.
For fun.
He just wanted us to know how really feminist he is and how much he cares. All right. By the way, so did you see the Republican effort to mock the public option has backfired?
Yeah, that's great.
I love this. So Tom Coburn and the aforementioned Senator David Hooker Vitter decided to make fun of Democratic efforts to pass health reform. They probably didn't see this coming by proposing an amendment that would require members of Congress to register for public health care if the so-called public option were to pass. They hope to further deter their colleagues from voting in favor.
That'll show them.
The hitch in their giddy up, Jim. Democrats took them seriously.
Uh-huh.
Senator Sherrod Brown offered to co-sponsor the amendment. He said 9 times we've asked a co-sponsor. Their office either said we'll get back to you or ignored our calls and emails because it was all a sham. They clearly don't like the public option. They were making fun of it. The whole game is to delay and deceive and play political games. So far, Senators Dodd, McCluskey, and Franken have also added their names as co-sponsors.
God, it'd be great if it passed.
Oh, it'd be great. It's like, good. Yes. We'll put our money where our mouth is. T and then a he. Meanwhile, Senator Lieberman, douche.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
No way, no how to the public option, he said once again. And he looks like he's having the time of his life, Jim, according to this reporter. Mr. Lieberman puts the odds of getting a bill through at greater than 50-50, but warns it won't be what Senator Reid put in. They're going to have to drop some things, the obvious being the public option. Unlike some Democrats who criticize it but remain open to negotiation, he says he's not bluffing. He said, I'm being more stubborn and more certain about this. Some people say to me, you would stop health care reform because of the public option? I'll ask it another way, he said. You mean the people who are supporting the public option, which is new to this debate, would stop all these reforms because they're stubborn? Oh, I see. The people, meaning 70% of the American people, Jim, who want a public option. They're the ones being stubborn.
Those stubborn American people. I hate them, especially the 45,000 who die every year from lack of health care coverage. I mean, they had it coming. What a bunch of bastards.
The douche-tastic senator from Aetna. Yeah, thank you once again. Oh, by the way, could you take out your organ for me, Chris? That's, you know, why he's going to block health care, because he's so very moral, Jim.
Yeah.
He says he'll attend key health care reform votes despite Orthodox Jewish prohibitions against working on the Sabbath. So he thinks that's the moral thing to do, to break his rule about working on the Sabbath to make sure health care doesn't
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because that's what God wants. He speaks through me.
Despite rumors that he would miss the Saturday votes on health care, he said he will walk from a Georgetown synagogue nearly 5 miles to attend the votes, even though the weather is expected to be chilly with possible sleet or snow. So he'll walk 5 miles in the snow.
Of course. Uphill both ways.
Because that's what the sanctimony is.
And then he'll slip and fall, crack his skull open, and there'll be no one there to give him health care. Wouldn't that be ironic?
The senator reportedly says he feels justified in working Saturday because Jewish law makes an exemption for actions that are, get this, are you ready? For the welfare of the community.
Huh.
Which he thinks...
Really?
I have a responsibility to my constituents, he means his friends at Aetna, really to my conscience to be here on something as important as health care reform. If a doctor gets a call that a patient needs, then they're not only permitted but required to go out. Unless
they don't have health insurance, in which case they're screwed. And I like it that way.
Seriously, could he just be any more... Okay.
Douche-tastic?
What's the word? Douche-tastic, I think, is the word.
Yes.
Thank you.
And hypocritical.
But I mean,
I took a hypocritic oath when I became
a congressman. Oh, he's just so sanctimonious. And remember him during the Clinton impeachment? And yet he thinks the moral thing to do is to let 45,000 people continue to die every year because they lack health insurance or any, you know, public option to get one.
Because they're lazy. That's why they don't have it. They deserve to die. It's the moral thing to do.
Oh, boy. He's probably... You know, you might as well keep your organ out, Chris.
Oh, okay.
He's probably a fan of the new... Have you heard about the new conservative Bible translation done by people on the Conservapedia?
With a kick-ass Jesus.
A kick-ass Jesus?
Kick-ass Jesus with a machine gun and a machete.
The Gospel of Luke records that as he was dying on the cross, Jesus showed his boundless mercy by praying for his killers, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Not so fast, say contributors to the Conservative Bible Project. That seemed too French and gay, apparently, for them. The project, an online effort to create a Bible suitable for contemporary conservative sensibilities, claims Jesus' quote is a disputed edition abetted by liberal biblical scholars, even if it appears in some form in almost every translation of the Bible.
So what did he say? What did he really say, according to them?
Lord,
kick their asses!
Something, yeah.
Call it an airstrike!
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Napalm! Yes!
He said shock and awe. That's what he said. Yeah.
Shock and awe.
Smoke and mouth. That's what he said. Yeah, I'll be back with more. And wait till you hear what's in the conservative Bible. It's done by not Bible experts, Jim, that translate, you know, ancient texts or anything, just some conservative people.
It's Rambo of Nazareth.
Yeah. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with that and Governor Jesse Ventura as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's hot, she's over 40, and she's totally unashamed about dating men half her age.
Okay, Jim, I found it. What the Conservapedia people think Jesus said on the cross was yippee-ki-yay, mother.
No.
It was not, apparently, forgive them, Father.
No, I think it was is Rambo of Nazareth.
Yes.
Screw the peacemakers. They drew first blood, not me.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Chris, you can take your organ back out. Let me finish this up real quick. The Conservapedia people that are rewriting the Bible, they don't have any actual knowledge of, you know, ancient texts.
No,
whatever. They want it to be more conservative. Tomorrow.
Yeah, Jesus spoke American, not Aramaic. Yeah. That was a typo.
Jesus said, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Run away this stone.
Argue that contemporary scholars have inserted liberal views and ahistorical passages into the Bible, turning Jesus into little more than a well-meaning social worker with a store of watered-down platitudes. Professors are the most liberal people in the world. It's professors who are doing the mocking.
Wow.
Translation said Andy Schlafly.
Any relation? To Phyllis?
Yes, he's Phyllis Schlafly's son. Is it the one with the gay on him?
Yes.
Because...
Yeah, she has a son with...
Jeez, that's with Macho. He wasn't that namby-pamby guy preaching peace. Grr! He was so...
She's the founder of conservatism.com. Experts who have devoted
pathetic.
Their... careers to unraveling the ancient texts of these scriptures, many in long extinct languages, are predictably skeptical about a project by amateur translators. This is not making scripture understandable to people today. It's a reworking scripture to support a particular political or social agenda, said one Bible expert.
Good God.
Wow.
Whatever. Anybody can read Aramaic. Paulie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the New Conservative Bible. Hello, Paulie.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stephanie. Stephanie, I want to point out that this could be an example of Poe's Law, which is another one of these internet ideas, that there's no ridiculous extreme political view or ridiculous extreme religious view that could be so absurd that people couldn't actually believe it. I think just like the let's ban divorce movement going on in California, I think this is parody, and if it's not parody, it's ripe for us to come in there because, you know, Wikipedias, these wikis, are always open source. We should go in there and make the most outlandish and outrageous claims about Jesus and his conservative views, Stephanie.
Yep. All right, honey. Thank you. I know, sadly, it seems like parody, but it's not. Okay. Governor Jesse Ventura has a brand new show out on True TV called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. He joins us now. Good morning, Governor.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm great. It's great to have you back on again.
Well, it's nice to be back on.
Well, this show, I got to tell you, sounds really, really cool. You travel across the country investigating cases from the perspective of both conspiracy believers and skeptics.
Well, actually, we ended up, the show evolved to only the conspiracy because we were going to show both sides and allow the viewer to decide. Uh-huh. But when one side won't cooperate in any way, shape, or form,
right,
it becomes difficult to tell their side. So now we simply tell the conspiracy side and allow the viewer to make a determination. Does this conspiracy have merit or does it not?
Wow.
It's amazing that they didn't want to get involved.
You can't learn a thing. If you go to our government today with a question, you will not get an answer, nor will you even talk to a spokesman. They just brush you off. And that's the real sad thing. I think there's an attitude now that somehow we work for them when they're supposed to be working for us.
Exactly.
Well, Governor, tell us about the December 9th, because I know there was a lot of talk about, you know, government surveillance on citizens during the Bush administration, but
yep,
it's still going on, I assume.
Wait till you watch the show on Big Brother is Watching. It's going on to the tune the FBI has almost deputized 30,000 Americans to spy on each other.
Wow.
Oy.
Now, I find that, isn't that what the Nazis used to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's under the guise of, well, we're protecting you from terrorism. Well, that's fine and dandy, but as you'll see in this show on Big Brother that comes on later, it's ripe for abuse. And even the guys in it agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
That it could be abused so easily. And we all know it's going to be abused. They're kidding us if they think it's not.
You have one of your experts, Jeff Dahlstrom, a former U.S. Air Force pilot who has dedicated his life to uncovering the truth about 9/11.
Yeah.
What does he have to say?
Well, he said it was completely a false flag operation,
mm-hmm,
which
9/11
means it was done for an ulterior purpose of getting us into these wars.
Wow. Do you
of
believe
course.
That?
Well, I believe this. I believe the government knew about it for sure and did nothing to stop it. The Condoleezza Rice memo proves that.
They were told exactly
on August 6th of that year, they were told exactly what would happen, and they ignored it. Now, let me add this. Are we not a country that run by the rule of law?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then how do we convict someone before indicting them?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we've done with Bin Laden. Why has they've had 8 years? Why hasn't the government come forward with their evidence, presented it to a grand jury of citizens, and gotten an indictment?
Do you believe he's alive?
I tend to think he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what the other conspiracy is floating out there now? Do you remember when they had him cornered at Tora Bora?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And they let him go?
Yep.
They gave him an out? Well, the conspiracy there, we don't cover this, but But the conspiracy there is that they let him go, because if they'd have captured or got him there, we couldn't have invaded Iraq.
Exactly. Yep. That's just what I've been saying. Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So they let him go so that it left the door open to go into Iraq. Now, if that's true, we should be outraged.
The government was more comfortable having Bin Laden alive and Pat Tillman dead.
Exactly. There you go. And yeah,
so we could go into Iraq.
They did with Pat Tillman and his family.
Right.
How despicable that is.
Yep.
You know, so again, I'm getting back to the point. The government has no credibility with me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Governor, I got to get your take on Afghanistan and the president's speech and strategy and all that.
Well,
you know,
it's Vietnam all over again. Completely, because we're propping up an unpopular government, which is exactly what we did in Vietnam, and we think that we're going to find a military solution over there. I got news for you. They've been fighting 1,000 years. There will never be a military solution there, in my opinion. The Russians couldn't do it. The English couldn't do it. But our ego says that we can.
So, you know, it's interesting. Scott Ritter said almost the same thing to us yesterday. You know, and
I respect Scott.
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, no, I do too. I mean, I think this is a really tough problem. I mean, I think the point the president made in his speech, though, obviously, about Vietnam is that the difference is that they did form, you know, form the attacks of 9/11 there. You know, they attacked us from Afghanistan. You don't believe that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of speculation there, too, you know, let me put it this way. How come we can believe so easily that these Muslims could beat our multi-billion dollar air defense system with box cutters, all while conspiring with a bearded guy in a cave in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
That's what we're told to believe. Yeah. The Russians couldn't beat our air defense system. None of these other countries could. But these 19 radicals with box cutters could defeat. Well, put it to you this way. Shouldn't someone have gotten fired over that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than Bill Maher, as we always say.
Navy SEALs. I'm a Navy SEAL. Mm-hmm. And we operated under failure is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe air defense is the same way. How come nobody in this catastrophic failure of 9/11, nobody was demoted or lost their job? Well, I'll tell you why. Because if you start demoting people and firing people, there'll be an investigation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you don't want an investigation, don't fire anyone.
I have to tell you, Governor, I thought this right when 9/11 happened. I mean, I understand Americans, instinct to come together, but I, when it happened, was like, what? Excuse me. What, no one's asking any questions of how this happened on their watch. Like what? Absolutely, to me, at least gross incompetence.
Have you heard of
totally? Totally. We didn't even have a jet plane up in the air for 3 to 4 hours. Who gave a stand down order?
Exactly.
Have
you heard of
Governor?
There's more to this than meets the eye, people. And people always say to me, "Well, why would they do it?" Excuse me. There's great profiteering
exactly.
in war.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Have you heard of April Gallup, who was suing Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Richard Myers over the Pentagon attack? Yeah, she was suing them because she was in the Pentagon when it was hit, and she doesn't believe that a plane hit the building. She heard two explosions. And,
well, not only that, I have a hard time believing it because there was no wreckage.
Right. Well, also the pilots say that it was impossible. The plane would have cartwheeled through the parking lot before it got anywhere near the building because you can't fly that fast at that altitude.
Like that. And again, you make a great point. And they broke the law, too. Whatever was out on there, they immediately sent the military out to clean it up.
Right. Yeah, people... also, the black box, data from the black box was released by NTSB, indicated the plane passed over the building at a very low altitude, just as an explosion and fireball were engineered by other means. That's part of the
interesting
lawsuit.
Too, and you'll see on our show tomorrow night, the black boxes were never discovered at the 9/11 site at the Trade Center, but we have a witness that saw them discovered.
Right. I remember reading that. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, Governor, let me ask you the same question I asked Scott because I'm curious your take. What would you have done if you were president after 9/11, and what would you do now in Afghanistan?
Well, you want mine? I'd pull us out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd pull us out of Iraq, Afghanistan. I question the fact that why do we have our military in 178 foreign countries?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, who made us the world's policemen?
And if we're going to be that, we ought to get paid for it.
Absolutely.
But how should we have addressed 9/11 is the other question. What would you have done after 9/11?
Well, I would have had a well, first of all, I would have led off with a huge investigation. If you recall, this will tell you the priority. Do you remember when they investigated President Clinton for Whitewater?
Yeah.
Well, they allocated $100 million to learn the president cheated on his wife.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you know what originally was allocated after stonewalling any... Remember how Bush stonewalled the investigation for 2 years?
Yep.
Well, you know how much they initially allocated to investigate the death of these 3,000 people? $3 million.
Wow.
So that tells you right there they didn't want an investigation. They spent $100 million to cover Whitewater and $3 million to cover. Yeah. Now it did end up $13 million, but they initially allocated $3 million to investigate 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people investigating themselves historically does not go that well.
No, it don't work too
well. Yeah, I mean, it just it galls me.
Themselves.
It galls me every time they make that argument about we kept you safe, we kept you safe, the Bush administration kept you. It's like, well, except for the one time that was the worst time in our history.
In our history,
yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They didn't keep
us.
And look at it this way. If the government wasn't part of 9/11, how come nothing's happened since?
Yep. All right. Governor Jesse Ventura, the new show is Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura on True TV. Governor, we always love having you on. Please come back again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being on, and it's nice to have an intelligent conversation about a topic that people get emotional over, but yet you're able to keep it under where we can have a good conversation on it, which needs to happen.
And I'm a chick. Thank you, Governor. See you next time. There
All
he
right,
goes.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Wow,
somebody,
cool.
Chris, somebody told me earlier that he walked off Opie Anthony, and I
said,
why?
I saw the footage of that, yeah.
I said, why? And the guy said, because they're Opie and Anthony.
Yeah, because they were being... jerks. Yeah, jerks.
Hey,
yes.
That's why. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1, do the phone number. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steph.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Tiger's a complete jerk. He has such a beautiful wife.
Yes.
And has these kids. I just cannot believe.
That's what I asked Jim Ward. I said, what's up with these guys? And he said, it's the same reason the dog licks their because they can.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I said.
What?
His wife is beautiful. What's the deal with these guys, him, Hugh Grant and the skank hoes?
Exactly. I just it pisses me off, and I'm a big golf fan. Not that I'm a big Tiger Woods fan, but
well, if you're keeping track, it looks like he is going to be playing 36 hoes. Thank you. All right. Okay.
I think his wife might have a little touch of the crazy.
It could be. But Keith
Ellerman, Jim Ward has been known to say crazy in the head, crazy in the bed.
Yeah, baby. But Keith had a good line too. That Tiger's seriously over par. I think in the case of Hugh Grant, it was a case of just being naughty. Because he had a beautiful wife, but he needed to get out of that sort of character persona he's created and go
Apparently.
Have sex with a skank hoe. As
with
say.
A skank hoe, mm-hmm. Yes. Although when you say it in an English accent, it doesn't sound that skanky.
It doesn't sound so bad.
All right. There's only one man to elevate the conversation
Irish.
Now. Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, author extraordinaire. Hello, Charlie.
I have absolutely no comment of any kind.
No, none at all. No.
Well, you know,
however, I do have a Taiwanese animation of myself right here. Who are these
freaky.
Guys and why are they rich, by the way?
Those are freaky, those Taiwanese
animated things. They're like Jib-Jab with... Like bloodlust.
Yes.
Did you get a unanimous call from Hillary Clinton?
I did not. However, we are having a senatorial primary here in Massachusetts today.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, the Democrats are nominating the successor for Ted Kennedy.
That's right.
Today. No one has noticed, by the way, but we are. We're replacing one of the greatest senators, perhaps the greatest senator of all time, and nobody cares.
Perhaps I should throw my hat in the ring. I don't think anyone would notice.
No, it looks like Attorney General Martha Coakley will be your Democratic nominee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Okay. And she's kind of cool. I mean, there aren't many of the Democrats who can tell you. One of the Celtics owners is running. And he robocalled me 4 times over the weekend. I finally threatened to call his wife, so he stopped doing it.
Charlie, make sure your name doesn't come up on my phone.
Change your phone, will you? Wow. The stuff that like cheating husbands have to do these days is really hard work. It's really not worth the effort. I'm sorry.
By the way, Charlie, I don't know if you heard the breaking news, but you know we are the newscast of record, as Candy Crowley told us earlier this morning. But the woman, you know, tragedy plus time equals comedy. So there was a woman taken from Tiger's house in the middle of the night. Transported to the hospital, but she's
been
released.
Well, there are several women taken to Tiger's house over the years.
Hey.
Anyway, we don't know who it is yet. It was the wife, the mother-in-law. We don't know. They were saying she was having bad life support.
I think it's probably Jennifer Flowers, actually.
Yeah. She what?
Jennifer Flowers.
Some hot blonde, yeah.
Tee-hee-hee. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't make jokes about Bill's concubines anymore?
Oh, absolutely we do.
Oh, excellent. By the way, did I hear correctly? Is the governor of Ventura now has a conspiracy theory TV show?
Yes. True TV.
Oh, yeah. Jim Ward, you've died and gone to heaven. It's the Jim Ward channel, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
There's got to be a spot for an Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward on that.
Which one is he debuting with?
I believe it's government surveillance. Big Brother is watching.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's the next episode.
That's sort of not a conspiracy theory, is it? I mean,
yeah. It's called the Patriot Act, right?
I mean, every time I go through the fast lane with my little you know fast lane thing, Alberto Gonzalez's face appears in my dashboard. It's terrible. I know where you are.
I know where you live.
So what? Charlie, you know, Governor Ventura, we had him on today. We had Scott Ritter yesterday. Both just saying we ought to get out of Afghanistan totally. There is absolutely no military solution. Is that where you come down on that?
I do, and you and I chatted about this last week. And to his credit, Governor Ventura has been saying this since he was Governor Ventura. Yeah. I mean, he didn't start saying this last week. He, of course, Scott Ritter is another one of those guys who was right before the Iraq War that, of course, never gets on television anymore because he was right.
Right.
The only way to have a career as a TV pundit is to be absolutely wrong about everything.
Thank you, Bill Kristol. Yes.
Speaking of whom, I'm reading.
And Dick Morris.
Yeah. And Dick Morris. I'm reading Howard Feynman's column on Newsweek.com just here this morning because I have no life. And he's saying that the future for the Republican Party is Ron Paul, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to know where Howard buys his mushrooms.
Bill O'Reilly said last night on his show that Sarah Palin is the natural leader of the new Tea Party.
Is that not undeniably true?
It is, absolutely. And they released a poll yesterday showing that more people say that they would belong to the Tea Party than to the Republican Party.
Well, I mean, is this the Tea Party Party or the Tea Party?
The Tea Party Party.
It would have to be, because the Tea Party would be, you know, just, you know, sort of, you know, kind of boring. But the Tea Party would be great.
Yeah.
Party, party, party.
But that's good news for us, because the Democrats, right, Chris, Trump of both of the parties
by quite a bit
in this poll. Yeah. But the Tea Party does...
They've stopped calling themselves teabaggers because they finally figured out what that means.
If I were Richard Lugar, because then I'd be 300 years old. But I was thinking of him the other day, by the way. Did you see that the thing about, you know, the global warming, which, of course, we know is a hoax made up by scientists who want billions of dollars in scientific grant money.
Right.
It's been melting a little on top of Mount Everest. And they have house flies on top of Mount Everest for the first time ever.
Wow.
Some Sherpas went up there, and the first time they'd ever seen a house fly.
Wow.
Can you imagine seeing your first house fly when you're like 120 years old?
Oh.
Because these Sherpas are, you know.
You're like, damn, I brought enough food and water, but no fly swatter. Damn it.
The guy in Nepal who invents the fly swatter. You could make a million. You could make a fortune because no one's ever needed one before.
By the way, I'm going to tell you what's going to be on What the Fox all night tonight. Sarah Palin was pelted with tomatoes at the Mall of America. Someone threw tomatoes at her. They didn't hit her, though.
That's really going rouge.
I don't really like that stuff, because I don't think it does anybody any good.
Yeah.
But did any of them hit her?
No.
She
ducked.
Just like W.
No.
At the Mall of America? The nicest place in the world?
It's Attack of the Killer Liberal Tomatoes. That'll be on with the Fox all night.
I did see video that she and Michelle Bachmann were actually in the same room together.
There's a
giant black hole of stupid there that could swallow the universe.
Charlie Pierce, we're out of time. We love you.
Hey, have a great week. See you guys next week.
All right, honey.
You got it.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. The Dow is down 86 points. It's 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. We have some breaking Tiger Woods news. Yes, Cub reporter Chris LeBoy.
It was, in fact, Tiger Woods' mother-in-law that was hospitalized. She is now in stable condition after being rushed to the hospital from the golfer's mansion early this morning. So it was his mother-in-law.
Okay. Maybe she just overexerted herself hitting Tiger in the head with a 9-iron.
Yes, maybe her caddy chose a different club than her daughter, and it was a little too much exertion.
So we wish her well.
Yes, we do wish her well. Thank you, producer Chris.
Mm-hmm.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Do we have the good senator from the great state of Vermont? Senator Bernie Sanders, one of our very personal favorites. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I would, as I've said many times on the show, I would be much better if we had 100 Bernie Sanders in the Senate, but we don't. So,
and if we had 100 Stephanie Millers on talk radio, we'd also be a better off, I think, as a nation.
Oh, boy, that might be more of a tragedy, but thank you, sir. So, Senator, the latest, obviously, is that Harry Reid has put, 10 senators in a room, I wish you were in there, but to figure out this public option thing. What have you heard about that?
Well, let's back it up just a little bit.
Okay.
Some of us have been, as progressives, have been very insistent that we're not going to compromise with the right wing anymore. We have, many of us, or at least a number of us, believe in a Medicare for All single-payer system, and really that was not even on the table. The bill that Senator Reid has proposed has a public option opt-out, meaning states can choose not to go forward. That's a major compromise, and there are some who want to compromise it even more. The American people are pretty clear, overwhelmingly, that they believe they have a right to choose, option, between a private plan or a public option. I'm going to fight for as strong a one as possible. What we have is a difficult situation. You have no Republican support, so you got 60 people who are making this decision. Republicans are demanding, fighting for filibustering, and you got some very conservative Democrats in there who make life difficult. And what Reid is trying to do now is put some people in a room, some good people in a room, to say, all right, what are we going to come out of here? But I know that people like Sherrod Brown are in there, Russ Feingold are in there, and they're going to fight to make sure that we have a strong public option of one a form or another.
Senator, I had Candy Crowley on this morning from CNN, and, she's been documenting this, obviously, for many years, the way politics is played in Washington. And, I said, what is your take on who's bluffing and who's, playing chicken here? And, I guess she basically said, I think it's the liberals that are going to have to blink. I hope that's not true.
But the difficulty is historically, she's absolutely right. And here's the problem that you have. If you are a right-wing or a conservative Democrat who votes with the Republicans very often, it doesn't matter. You can vote with the Republicans. But what has happened is progressives are sitting there and saying, look, I'm not going to vote with the Republicans. I'm not going to destroy this, whatever it may be, health care, anything else. So we have got to compromise. But I think that this time a number of us have made it clear that, no, we're not going to compromise. The evidence is very clear. Every poll that I have seen indicates that the people want a choice. And given the fact this is going to be a Democratic bill, Democrats overwhelmingly believe in a public option, not only because of the right to have a choice, but the need for cost containment. You tell me, if there's not competition out there with the private insurance companies whose only function in life is to make money, how are you going to keep costs down?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Absolutely. Senator, I did an event with Bill Press this weekend, and he said we are going to get health reform with a strong public option. Is that, I hope so.
Look, many of us have said to the leader, to Harry Reid, who believes in a public option, is we're going to fight for a public option. Do not take our votes for granted.
Mm-hmm. What about the abortion amendment? We have all sorts of people, and we have Ben Nelson saying there's no way I'm voting for it, without this language.
Well, Ben Nelson does not reflect the Democratic Party, and I think what the president has asked appropriately enough is you can vote however you want to vote on an amendment. But at the end of the day, you can't be voting to support a Republican filibuster. And that's the demand that has got to be made of Ben Nelson. So I think the abortion vote is going to take place today. To my mind, it would be incomprehensible that under a Democratic president, Democratic House, Democratic Senate, we would be taking away the right of choice for millions of women. It just is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly hope so. What, Senator, are we getting a sense of what the timetable is going to be? What's going to happen by Christmas, do you think?
Well, that's, again, I don't know. I don't know that anybody knows. What is much more important to me is that we get it done right rather than we rush it through. I mean, there's an argument is, you know, time is, we got to get this thing through immediately. You know, I think we got to rally the American people, and we have to do it well. Here's some of the concerns that are sitting out there. Public option is one. You know, the truth is, Stephanie, a lot of people don't understand this. The public option in the House bill was weak. The public option in the Senate bill is weaker. And some of us are trying to figure out a way how to make it much stronger.
Yeah.
I've got language. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Senator. I was going to say, you know, it is amazing that what the right will focus on. So, you know, Senator Reid made this comment about, that this is when the country recognized the evils of slavery. There were those who dug in their heels and whatever. I mean, if you can't say that 45,000 Americans dying every year is not a moral issue and the moral issue of our time, like slavery was then, to me it's a perfectly apt analogy. And, of course, the right wing is focusing, you know, on that being an outrageous thing to say, so they can go make another Nazi analogy about the Democrats' health care plan.
No, but your point is well. 45,000 people dying every year because they don't have access to a doctor when they should. You got close to 1 million people in this country go bankrupt every year because of medically related illnesses, and we pay almost twice as much per person on health care as any other major nation on earth, which provides health care to all of their people. So clearly, we have got to address in a very forceful way the health care crisis. The problem, let me be very honest, and I speak as a progressive independent. 8 years of Bush, while premiums almost doubled, and 7 million more Americans lost their health insurance. Can you recall Bush even talking about the issue in any significant way?
No.
Not even talking about it.
Yep.
The problem is, you know, the Democrats, to their credit, Obama to his credit, they brought this issue onto, you know, into Main Street. It's up there. We're debating it right now. But let's not kid ourselves. The private insurance companies, the drug companies are enormously powerful. My own view is that the only way, long-term, that you're going to solve the problem of providing a universal, comprehensive, cost-effective health care system for all Americans is through a Medicare for All single-payer system. One of the things that I'm trying to do, working with some other senators, is at least get language in this bill which will give states the right to go forward with what will be close to a single-payer system. And if one state can do it, whether it's Vermont or California, it could become a model for the country.
Right, and show how well it works. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I'm with you. Senator, I always feel guilty when you're taking time on my show that you're not working to save America. So I'm going to let you go back to that while I go back to my silly radio show.
All right.
Thank you. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Thank you so much, sir. There he goes. Love him.
Yep.
Oh, sure, Bush didn't do anything about health reform, but you have to give him credit. He was getting so many other good things accomplished.
Like, for instance,
He was good for the effigy business. For the effigy business. A lot of people that used to burn George Bush in effigy, what are they doing now to feed their families? Okay.
Maybe they work for insurance companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. StephanieMiller.com, that website. Check it up. Oh, the pictures are up of Max and Fred finally in their cross-country trip on Pet Airways. Thank you, Pet Airways. Jim, just you got here a little late. The update. It's a little loose stool still because the new food is not here yet because my car is being held hostage by the Cookie Car Company. They asked me if I can come to New Jersey to get it last night.
Yeah,
which, as I said, if you watch The Sopranos, that never ends well. It's, in the meantime, Chris, you know, it's a little expensive here.
Yes.
So I went to Chicago. Yeah. I went to Chicago this weekend, and I stole all the fruit I could out of the fancy hotel and the fancy soaps and the shampoos and little stuff like that.
That's right, because you still have no soap. Because that's in your car.
I did. I stole it from the hotel in Chicago. I'm fine.
Good. Now you have soap. Whew.
All right.
There is no soap available within the 212 area code.
In the tri-state area.
Jim, you just got here, so let me review my day yesterday. So, still cleaning up the diarrhea. Fred also peed in the house because the landlords wouldn't let me have a dog door, He's still discombobulated. Also, a company that sounds like Slime Porner ruined the front of the Landmark brownstone that I'm renting.
Excellent.
Yes, and the landlords saw that yesterday, and that was... Uh-huh. That was fun.
They threw
for
a
all.
Hissy, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's some foreman coming out today to do something. Oh, it's the whole thing. They got to file a claim, and it's a. Okay. They strung a giant white wire after they broke part of the front of the building off across the entire building. And, they thought no one would notice.
Oh, my God.
That.
I bet there were teabaggers.
Yes, what?
And also, you know, the electronics store in Times Square, you're right. I didn't realize that's really an expensive place to buy. And I bought the wrong phone because Slime Porner says you got to buy a special phone because their thing isn't like the real thing. So I returned that and I got a headset.
Yeah.
You know, so I could listen to the radio when I'm walking home.
Uh-huh.
And when I was dealing with the cable guy yesterday, Fred ate the new,
Oh, yeah. Jazz has done that. Jazz has eaten some headphones that I had. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
He ate the actual radio.
Oh, he ate the radio?
You shouldn't have got that chicken-flavored headphones.
Yeah. No, don't buy
Here's
things.
Here's the good thing I've noticed, is the corner deli in New York, like, you know, your deli that's on almost every corner?
Your bodega.
They got everything.
Yeah, they do.
It's like, let's make a deal in that place. It's like, you can't stump them. Do you have an
aircraft carrier?
Yes, they do.
We do.
Do you have a printer paper? Yes. Do you have the candles and the little, how about the lighter thing with the...
Yes.
They have it. They have it.
Little bodegas. They're lifesavers there. They're expensive as hell.
Yes, but if you need something in the middle of the night, it's friggin' Monty Hall works at your corner thing.
Are they open all night?
I don't know. I go in the middle of the night.
Well, I mean, now that you're, you know, a woman of leisure, you can do things at night now.
Oh, I'm not a woman of leisure. It looks like I'll be debating Ann Coulter this week.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect ending to my week.
Did you get a confirm on that?
I must say.
Did you get a confirm on that yet?
Not yet. It's supposed to be Thursday on the Joy Behar show on the CNN. I'll let you know about that.
That ought to be interesting.
That'll be delightful.
You know, I've read that CNN Headline News, which is what Joy Behar is on, is now beating regular CNN in prime time.
Wow. Huh.
So you're going to have more viewers possibly than you had when you were on the lair.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for them. All right. All right. Hey, by the way, speaking of the disastrous Bush administration, a couple of the disastrous, incompetent people in that administration have finally found jobs. Guess who found a job? Brownie.
Brownie?
A FEMA administrator, Michael Brown.
Yeah. Heck of a job.
Yeah, the University of Denver Law
School.
Got
a heck of a job. It's a heck of a job,
the University of Denver Law School announced the latest addition to its faculty, disgraced former FEMA administrator Michael Brown, who, by the way, gave his first lecture on geography.
We love you, Denver!
And then they're going to bring Bobby Jindal in to talk about volcanoes and how they never
erupt,
so you don't really need to watch them.
Famous volcanologist.
And Alberto Gonzalez got a job at Texas Tech University, where he told his students, dream big.
Dream big.
You never know when the next George W. Bush is going to come along and give you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity like he gave me, but you have to be patient. And one day you can be the worst attorney general ever as well.
And you can fire people for political reasons. And collect information on them forever and ever. And you'll know where they all live.
It's creepy. I don't like the torture czar impression. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the Afghanistan debate, right-wing world, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is 24 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show. The president is speaking as we speak on the TARP money and the economy. Uh-oh, Chris, bad.
What?
Good news for America, bad news for the right wing. The Treasury Department expects to recover all but $42 billion of the $370 billion it has lent to ailing companies since the financial crisis began last year, with the portion lent to banks actually showing a slight profit, according to a new Treasury report. The new assessment of the $700 billion bailout program is vastly improved from the Obama administration's estimates last summer of $341 billion in potential losses from the TARP program. The report could tamp down some of the public anger directed against both parties over the bailouts. Congressional leaders are already planning to use some of the program's money for economic stimulus and job creation. How about that there? President might have been right on something. The president talking about jobs. Yeah.
What my speech tomorrow will focus on is the fact that having gotten the financial crisis under control, having finally moved into positive territory when it comes to economic growth, our biggest challenge now is making sure that job growth matches up with economic growth.
By the way, so a lot of Republicans, of course, running on this in the next election, Jim. They're, you know, going to use this. According to the article in the Times, it says, it's unclear how that climate might be altered as taxpayers realize they didn't actually lose $700 billion to help big banks. At most, Treasury officials say the ultimate losses will be one-fifth that amount and probably less. You know, and so now they're using that money to obviously help with infrastructure, road building, construction projects, small business, and people that desperately need it. So, you know.
Damn it, it's working.
That's just, well, that's what the CBO report said, that the friggin' stimulus is working.
We need a distraction. Martians.
Exactly. Oh, boy.
Martians landing. That's it. That's what
we can kill them with Slim Whitman music. We know that already.
I've said yesterday, I hope the president proves to be right on Afghanistan. I know after talking to Governor Ventura and Scott Ritter. Here's the thing I was most encouraged by, Jim, that I read in the New York Times story about the Afghanistan. When he had made the decision, it said President Obama then went to the Situation Room to call General McChrystal and Ambassador Eikenberry. The president made it clear that in the next assessment in December 2010, he would not contemplate more troops. It will only be about the flexibility and how we draw down, not if we draw down. You know. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary. Yesterday.
July 2011 is the transition date, the date by which our forces will be thinned and responsibility for Afghan security will be the responsibility of the Afghans.
Secretary of State Clinton also on the Afghan situation.
We want to show urgency about our aims here, and we do expect to start this transition in July 2011.
I don't know if you should leave it up to the Afghans. They're not the smartest dog. Irish setters would be a little worse, maybe.
Oh, you see.
You might not want to mention to them that they're stupider than Irish setters, though, when you're...
Yeah, I think Karzai might take exception to that.
And we apologize to all the Irish setter owners who have already written in.
Although Cocker Spaniel, they're kind of stupid, too.
All right.
Oh,
listen,
boy. Started a whole new thread now.
What?
Now he's stepped in it. So to speak.
Yeah. Slurk. Right Wing World and Celebrity Stack next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm betting there are a lot of men who are thinking that
Stephanie Miller
is cougar-licious.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids, and see what's doing. You know, we watch so you don't have to. Juan Williams on the Britain Bearer. Yeah, I love this. It's just that apparently there's sheer panic among the Democrats on health care. However, I'm not sure what the story will be when we pass it, which we inevitably will. Juan Williams.
Democrats are desperate right now to get a deal done and get it done before Christmas, and they're trying to put pressure on everybody involved. And, of course, they're not even talking to Republicans, so it's really a conversation among Democrats. That's why President Obama was up there this weekend. He didn't go and meet with the Republicans. He was talking to the Democrats. And what you're getting from Senator Reid, I think, is evidence of his anxiety and making it very clear. To quote Dr. King, why we can't wait. I mean, you can't wait right now. Got to do it now. Don't let your inhibitions or concerns from constituents back home hold you up. Go for it, baby. Go now. So that's all it is. But it's to me, it's a little bit much.
Did Juan Williams just slam Dr. King? it's like that what that idiot said before. But
exactly.
And there's no point in talking to the Republicans because they just give them the finger.
I know, it's so curious, Jim. They've been so helpful in every way.
I don't
know why we wouldn't still be talking to them. O'Reilly on Caribou Barbie again.
Now, Sarah Palin would be a natural head of the Tea Party because she's a small government populist with a charismatic common touch.
What?
The pinheads on the far left mock Governor Palin, but she does command attention and can only get stronger on the national stage.
Good. Yes, go with her.
Yes, good idea. All the pinheads on the far left are going to vote against her.
Mm-hmm. She's the best and the brightest. You go with that. By the way, one of the five or so colleges that she went to.
Did she finish any of them?
Not so much. She's kind of she's a bit of a quitter, if you're paying attention.
Wow.
Her father said she left the one college in Hawaii because Asians made her uncomfortable. He said the presence of so many Asians and Pacific Islanders made her uncomfortable. They were a minority type thing. And it wasn't glamorous, so she came home.
No, she was the minority type thing.
Yeah. In Hawaii, white people are the minority.
They were a minority type thing. Not so much people as things. That's why she preferred her last stop. He said the University of Idaho.
Oh. Yeah, of course.
Because it was much more like Alaska.
Die Fahne hoch, die Reifes geschlossen.
Code word for white people.
Yeah,
only
that's
white
where the
people.
Neo-Nazis live, in fortresses.
All right, Bernard Goldberg on the left-wing media.
They didn't cover Van Jones. They didn't cover Acorn. They either ignored or came to this story, this ClimateGate story, late. Or played it down, it's part of a bigger picture. Things that don't fit into the agenda, the liberal agenda, they find to be inconvenient, and they play it down or ignore it.
Wow.
What's he talking about?
This
ClimateGate
thing.
Things that aren't really stories, that aren't covered as stories because they're not really big stories.
Are you familiar with this ClimateGate thing that Fox News has been pushing?
Yes. Yeah, so somebody
with the emails.
Yeah, somebody stole some emails,
right.
And they're using it to say that the whole climate change is a complete hoax.
Yes. They're saying the emails were leaked when they were, in fact, stolen.
So the flies on Mount Everest are part of a liberal conspiracy
to
make it look like the planet is warming. Okay.
Yes. Okay, Hannity on the healthcare debate as well. Here.
President Barack Obama took a break from his normal weekend golf routine on Saturday to attend a rare meeting with Senate Democrats on Capitol Hill, but appears the closed-door pep rally was not enough to win over members of his own party on the issue of federal funding for abortion. And that brings us to our headline tonight, life support. Now, in a move that has outraged his fellow Democrats, Ben Nelson has filed an amendment to the Senate health care bill that would prohibit taxpayer dollars from funding abortion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, the health care is on life support, it's not good, blah, blah, blah. Oh, they passed it? Okay.
Like I said, it's on life support, and it, what? It, oh, no! Damn it.
All right, Carl.
But what about those 45,000 people that are going to be alive now, sucking up all the oxygen and food?
And money.
And
Carl Rovan, once again, Jim, how very, very helpful the Republicans have tried to be on health care.
The Republicans have offered plenty of good ideas about how to lower health care costs, but not a single one of them was led into that back room where Harry Reid wrote this bill in conjunction with powerful Democrats before bringing it to the floor and attempting to ram it through regardless of the consequences to the country.
Yo, Pinhead, it's because the Democrats are in power. If you would have won elections, you could have done something about it. So until you do, Sit down and shut up.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Oh, dear.
That was the
Chris.
Rephrasing of the,
Rush Limbaugh thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I get it.
Until you people win an election, just shut up. Shut up.
I see.
Just shut up. Just go away, bury yourselves in your rat holes, and don't come out till you win an election. When you win an election, you can put all these socialist wackos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer all over the court.
But until then,
shut up. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. A T and then a he, and furthermore, Rush. Okay. I love that. It's not as if the Bush administration, Jim, would ever have tried to ram something through without caring what anyone else thinks. That would never happen on his watch. All right, that completes another vomitous right-wing world. Well, this is why this explains why politics has become so distasteful to everybody here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
In the mayoral election, who was the runner-up? Mr. Burns.
Excellent.
From The Simpsons.
What?
He got the most votes of any write-in candidate during last month's electoral election in New York City.
Excellent. Smithers.
Yeah, did he have a sycophant named Smithers?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. It's just excellent. All right. George Michael spoke candidly of his drug use and cruising for sex with strangers, saying, "It's just who I am."
That's what Bill Clinton should have said.
Yeah.
Hey, it's who I am. You know who you're voting for.
Yeah, the D-listed writes a slightly snarky piece about this. The headline is, George Michael loves to cruise for in the woods and he doesn't care what you think about it. George just loves hunting for park in Hampstead Heath when the weather is warm enough to keep his butt cheeks toasty. He also said he used to gobble up 25 joints a day, but he's down to 7 or 8 now.
Oh,
okay, George
wow.
should probably check his dealer's references, because if he needs 8 joints to keep him riding high on a green cloud, he might be smoking catnip. D-listed sums up, basically, George is a forest stoner who just wants everyone to get off his so he can smoke his joints and search for ass in peace. Oh, heavens. All right. The superficial Adam Lambert is going to be allowed back on ABC.
Oh, thank God.
After pretending to get, this is from the superficial.com, our other favorite purveyors of the celebrity snark. After pretending to get filleted by his entire stage crew on national television, ABC spent the weeks following the American Music Awards axing every Adam Lambert performance on their schedule, but apparently a truce has been reached because he's appearing on The View under the watchful eye of Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who has no quarrel choking a bitch with the King James. The superficial goes on to say, I love how they're treating Adam Lambert like a caged beast while Chris Brown's hosting afternoon tea with the crew of Good Morning America. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. Robert De Niro and Bruce Springsteen are being awarded the Kennedy Center honor.
Hooray.
A little bit. Being awarded a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
He's got a little bit of an award. Mm-hmm. And by the way,
Are you voting for me?
Bruce Springsteen, that's why, Chris, I'm not going to New Jersey to pick up my car from my crooked car company, because I agree with him that it does rip the bones from your back.
Ow.
It's a death trap. It's a suicide trap.
It's a suicide rap. Suicide
mm-hmm.
rap. Well,
you're young.
Yeah, but you're not young.
Oh, shut up.
What?
Okay. Daniel Radcliffe will bear all twice in the next Harry Potter movie.
Oh, come on.
I don't think that's appropriate.
No.
He's previously stripped for his part in the stage production in Equus.
We knew that. You saw his bits.
His what?
His bits. Franks and beans.
Yes.
His,
mm-hmm.
yeah. his meat and two veg.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Equus when I was a little Catholic high school girl, when I came to the big city to New York to see my first Broadway production.
Oh, dear.
And,
yeah.
Oh, dear. I saw him.
Oh, dear. In college, when I took a couple of acting classes, I performed a soliloquy from Equus.
Naked?
No,
naked?
Not naked. Not naked.
Did you play the horse?
No, I didn't play the horse. I played the kid who blinded the horses.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, so
all
there
right,
you go.
Speaking, breaking news about the breaking news. Diane Sawyer says this is her last week as co-anchor of ABC's Good Morning America as she prepares to replace Charlie Gibson on the network's World News. Gibson retiring his last mm-hmm. broadcast on World News December 18th. Sawyer starts December 21st.
Are you replacing her? Is that why you're in New York?
that's the rumor. Is that why I'm here in New York?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm
sure.
Gonna...
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with that.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Does that mean you won't do this show anymore?
Oh no, I'll do both, of course.
Oh, okay.
That'll be my hard news persona, and then I'll come here and.
Good. So I'll still be employed.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it comes down to me.
All right. 43 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, Chris LeBoy is so crazy when he can't see me on Skype.
Well, no.
I'm just over there for a second.
I couldn't see you, and I heard the door slam right as the as the music was starting, I'm like, oh my God, I hope she didn't just leave.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing, learning the subway system here in New York. The whole thing that, you know, radio tends to start at a specific time.
Yes.
And being the Stephanie Miller Show, it seems that it seems to be some sort of requirement that I be there at the actual time when it starts.
Kinda.
And I still, Jim, we have a request for you. I still can't understand the subway conductor, and you see, if you get a different train every day, it's a different stop that's near where I work, so I don't really...
Please keep clear of the door.
That's the only thing I can hear.
Because
I don't know
why. Because it's pre-recorded, that's why.
Oh, because I figured that, you know...
They get an announcer guy to say it. Please stand away from the door, or you could be crushed. Have a nice
apparently
day.
Apparently, a lot of people are big enough morons, they need to know that you should not yeah. stand in the doors.
I rode the L.A. subway this weekend. I could understand every single word, and they were very polite.
No, here is never... Please stand clear of the closing doors. Hey, moron.
You idiot.
Moron, get out of the doors. Okay.
they engage in some name-calling on the New York subway, apparently.
Chris,
what are you looking at?
Chris in New Jersey writes, good morning, Mama. I have some nightmares to throw at you for your subway ride. If the following people were doing the subway stop announcing, Tom Brokaw, Harry Reid, or Terry Jeffrey.
Oh, no.
Jim, I'm guessing that's a request for you.
Well, if I had a map of the New York subway, I could find the stop with the most L's in it. Let's see.
Let me think.
Lexington.
Lexington.
The Lexington line.
Yeah. Lexington line. Welcome to the Lexington line.
And Harry Reid's too quiet because the subway's loud anyway.
We're about to arrive at Times Square.
Where am I?
It's Times Square, I think. But I could be wrong. I'd have to consult my...
Please stand clear of the door.
I'm trying to find my Terry Jeffrey. Hang on a second. Oh, Chris, you told me how to find this in my box.
Okay,
but,
you hit find, type in T-E-R-R, then you hit enter.
It.
Okay.
I got it. Oh, okay, God, and then enter?
Such good
I
radio.
I'm sorry, what stop is next? Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Representative Barney Frank will endorse Representative Joe Sestak's bid for the Senate. Which I... Yes, yay. Along with Frank and Lieutenant Dan Choi.
He's awesome.
Yes, are both scheduled to endorse Sestak at separate news conferences. Yay!
Stephanie?
Yes, sir.
Von Seal in Asheville would like to take issue with me.
Yes.
So, Von Seal?
Well, he wouldn't.
Von Seal, you're on the air.
Thank you. I don't even know why I called, because Chris and I very rarely agree on anything, but when he attacked Cocker Spaniel, I had to call in. My Cocker Spaniel is so smart and so sweet, and his feelings were so hurt when he heard that today.
I grew up with a Cocker Spaniel. That's how I know that they're kind of dumb.
Well, honey, I'm sure he felt the same way.
I'm sure he did. His name was Trooper.
The Stephanie Miller Show would like to formally apologize. The Afghans are both smarter, or not as smart, excuse me, as Cocker Spaniels, and although Cocker Spaniels do more heroin. All right. Just kidding. Sorry about that. All right,
Boston. It's meth labs in my part of the world.
Oh, that's true. All right.
Thank you for calling. All right. Jim, I was telling you the story earlier that, you know, going to the dog parks and stuff in New York, it's very clicky. The dogs and the people, and it's like the first day of high school for me.
Yeah.
Every day, trying to break into the various little,
cliques.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the geeky, I'm the nerdy girl again. All right, which you can tell I'm a nerd, Chris. Why? Because you're house-sitting for me.
Yes, I am.
And I have Meet the Press recorded from, 1940?
1940.
Right? That's all I have
You
on
should
my,
see
DVR.
The list of Meet the Presses she has saved up on her DVR.
Yeah. Since it was in black and white.
Yeah, President Roosevelt said.
Hosted by Dave Garraway.
I'm such a geek.
God.
Lord. Yeah, by the way,
I got rid of a few of them, so.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, those ones. Those are the ones I wanted. Okay. Okie dokie. I was going to say, speaking of Barney Frank, wow. He and Sarah Palin spoke at the Gridiron Dinner. Did you hear?
Oof. Yikes.
Sarah Palin mostly just did her usual whining. She took shots at her running mate and also her Democratic rival. She said the view was so much better inside the bus than under the bus. Oh, see, because she's saying they threw her under the bus.
The view is so much better from the plane before you get on the bus.
I'm so sick of her. Even Mike Huckabee is distancing himself from Sarah Palin. He said he points out they're both governors. And they openly express their religious faith, but other than that, he said, I'm not sure what the comparison is. By the way, Huckabee, his status recently took a hit when a man he released from prison while governor of Arkansas turned into a prime suspect in the murder of four police officers in Washington State.
Yeah. Hmm. And we talked to Representative Adam Smith about that.
I know. And he's, by the way, that's the second clemency by Huckabee gone awry. Remember the... relative of Bill Clinton. I don't even remember. It was like obviously a political vendetta thing about Bill Clinton. And he did the same thing. He let someone go that later.
We could do a true Willie Horton ad for him.
Yes, exactly. The Senate Ethics Committee has begun issuing subpoenas to those caught up in the sex and lobbying scandal surrounding Senator John Ensign and his former aides, Doug and Cindy Hampton. The subpoenas do not preclude the possibility the Justice Department, by the way, will also get involved. Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Both Hamptons left Ensign's employ, as you'll recall, in the end of April 2008. Ensign's parents later gave $96,000 to the Hamptons. Wait for it, but Ensign denied any link between those funds and the affair.
Right.
You know how you just, your parents just give, you know, 100 grand to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Happens all the time.
Just cause. Just to say, you know, Merry Christmas.
We had 100 grand lying around. We thought you should have it.
Do these guys seriously believe anyone's going to believe that? It's like, what? Oh, that had nothing to do with what? Huh? No. No. All right. Latest CNN poll. 48% approve of the way Obama handling his job as president. 50% disapprove. 46% favor the Afghan war. 51% oppose. 62%, this is sort of strange, 62% favor Obama's Afghan strategy. 36% oppose the decision. So it's interesting. You know, it seems like now that he's made a decision, people are backing him, even though they're not big, wild about the war. Mm-hmm. 66% favor the plan to begin a troop withdrawal in Afghanistan in summer 2011. 32% oppose. So, you know, interesting that people seem to actually be, you know, saying kind of what I'm saying, that giving the president the benefit of the doubt. That, you know, they like the idea that there's an actual plan, a strategy, a plan for withdrawal. I hope it's true. I hope it, you know, works out.
I'm just going to break down the general numbers, approval ratings between people which people are disapproving of him. Because the right-wingers are going to say it's because he's a socialist and moved too far to the left, where people actually on the left would, in the middle, would say something completely different, I believe.
And people that would like to see his gift certificate right away, or birth certificate, pardon me.
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate? I mean, it's a gift certificate. His birth certificate?
Yeah, it's like, then you've got, no, you're an idiot. You don't get to be in the poll.
Apparently, okay. Obama left Hawaii because there's too many Asians there. Creeping me out.
By the way, this, once again, another edition of Jim Ward is Right. It's, what else is new? His plan that anything with a vagina needs to be airlifted out of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Even the goats, the male goats, I guess, on their own.
Well,
and,
you know,
luck to them.
Well, then the Taliban will have to milk the male goats, which would make them gay, and they'd have to kill each other. So that would solve a bunch of problems.
Problem solved. See? We can avoid a lot of that. Human Rights Watch released a new report titled We Have Promises of the World, Women's Rights in Afghanistan, which documents the poor state of women's rights in Afghanistan. Oh, this is shocking news. Mm. However, the report does conclude the plight of women in Afghanistan risks deteriorating further as the U.S. and its allies prepare to ramp up their forces in the country. 8 years after the Taliban were ousted from power, rapists are often protected from prosecution. Women can still be arrested for running away from home. Girls have less access to schools than do boys. So, and the situation could get worse. So I say we go with Jim's vagina plan. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.